Thus the king, Maharaj Pariksit, sat to fast until death. All the demigods of the higher planets praised the king's actions and in pleasure continually scattered flowers all over the earth and beat celestial drums. Even up to the time of Maharaj Pariksit, there were interplanetary communications, and the news of Maharaj Pariksit's fasting unto death until salvation reached the higher planets in the sky, where the intelligent demigods live. The demigods are more luxurious than human beings, for all of them are obedient to the orders of the Supreme Lord. There is no one in the heavenly planets who is an atheist or a non-believer. Thus any devotee on the surface of the earth is always praised by them. In the case of Maharaj Pariksit, they were greatly delighted and thus gave tokens of honor by scattering flowers over the earth and beating celestial drums. A demigod takes pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. He is always pleased with the devotee of the Lord so much that his abhidhavadic powers, he may help the devotees in all respects. And by their actions, the Lord is pleased with them. There is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, the demigods, and the devotee of the Lord on earth.
I was born in the dark and into my spiritual master, of my central to transcendental knowledge. So, we can see, in this purport, quick look, and can see the demigods were happy and blessed Maharaj Pariksit because he had performed and is performing devotional service even when he was fasting to death because of the curse given by Sringi. And just like Maharaj Kataranga, he was a king, and he helped the demigods. He served the demigods or helped the demigods defeat the demons. So when the battle was finished, they asked him is there any benediction you would like? And he couldn't think of anything. But then he said, he asked the question, how long have I got to live? And then the god said, you're going to die immediately. So then he just sat down and just meditated on the Lord. The same position as Maharaj Pariksit here. And of course, Maharaj Pariksit, he performed devotional service. So then it says in this purport that the demigods, because he was performing devotional service, that that a demigod takes pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. So this is the goal, this is the purpose of this human form of life, is to take pleasure in serving the devotees, in serving the spiritual master. So this is the pleasure we should be deriving from when we serve. Not the pleasure for the material body, but the pleasure the soul, the Atma, gets when do service. So this pure devotional service, it says in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 1 is characteristics of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those who are in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. Pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, but pure devotional service attracts even him. This means that pure devotional service is even transcendentally stronger than Krishna himself, because it is Krishna's internal potency. So, of course, this is talking about pure devotional service. And so, pure devotional service, this is the, as I just read, is the character of pure devotional service. So this is the, of course, pure devotional service means it's abhyalasunam jnana gavatam anakam anukalkena krishanu shilanam bhakti uttama. There should be no material destinations there within that devotional service. If it is, it is mixed service. It's either mixed with jnana or karma. And if it's mixed with any knowledge, material knowledge, and karma, it is not pure devotional service. To come to that level of pure devotional service, we have to take shelter of a person who is on that platform. So from a lecture, from the 12th of November 1972, chapter 1, Srim Bhagavatam, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 33, Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in a small segment of his lecture, he describes what real bhakti is. The more you are engaged in devotional service, the more your senses become pure or uncovered. And when it is completely uncovered, without any destination, then you are capable to serve Krishna. This is the apprenticeship, Vaidhi Bhakti. That is the apprenticeship. Real Bhakti, Parabhakti, that is Raghunuga Bhakti. This Raghunuga Bhakti, we have to come to after surpassing the Vaidhi Bhakti. So, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Caitanya, the appearance of Lord Caitanya was to give, he came to give this spontaneous, this Raghunuga Bhakti, Lord Caitanya. He appeared for this reason. One of the reasons. The external reason and internal reason. But we cannot jump over the Vaidhi Bhakti process. In the beginning, we have to follow the process given by the acharyas in the beginning. But as in one class I was hearing yesterday from Ayendra Prabhu, he said, this process that Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas have given should lead us to eventually and develop Raghunuga Bhakti. Because if we examine this word Raghunuga, Raga means attractive. Anuga means to follow. So it's not such a high level. If we just see the beauty of Krishna that attracts us to Krishna. If we see the attraction of Krishna, and we just follow, then automatically, we could be performing Raghunuga Bhakti unknowingly, even without knowing it. I've heard this from Bhakti Chumaraj. He said this somewhere in one class. He said this as well. He said, if we could be unknowingly following Raghunuga Bhakti because we're finding Krishna so attractive and we're following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Therefore, we could be following in the footsteps, be following in the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. And so therefore, we have to submit ourselves to the mercy of Krishna and Guru and Krishna. So this is from a quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur. It's It's a question and answer. How does one find one's guru? This is a question. Answer. Whoever Sri Krishna, the embodiment of compassion, chooses to send to you as your guru, that person alone will manifest before you as the Mahant Guru. So Mahant here, Mahant Guru basically means Diksha Guru. The Guru in the form of the foremost living Guru. By the mercy of Bhagavan, we will attain a Guru. By the mercy of Guru, we can attain Bhagavan. A person will get a Guru according to his particular destiny. People of different types vary in their disposition, and therefore Bhagavan, who is omniscient, sends them each a particular type of guru. There are those who want Nishkapata, Kripa, real mercy of Bhagavan, who depend entirely on Bhagavan for their eternal welfare. Being pleased with such simple-hearted, sincere persons, Bhagavan manifests before them as the guru to bestow mercy upon them. But for those who want Kapata Kripa, the deceptive mercy of Bhagavan, Bhagavan Maya, or external potency, will send them a guru according to their particular disposition of their heart. There is no impediment for one who is sincere. He will very quickly meet a bona fide guru. So then, as it says, Bhaktivedanta Thakur says, that this word Mahant Guru means basically Diksha Guru. And this Diksha Guru gives them mantras. And of course, he gives prominently the Maha Mantra. And so, at the initiation, at the time of initiation, he's giving that devotee his sambandha, his relationship with Krishna as the eternal servant of Krishna. And when that devotee is qualified, I stress qualified, then he will actually reveal his spiritual form. Then, of course, next is the Abhideya. Abhideya means bhakti. But I heard also, I read the other day, one acharya, in one of our ISKCON gurus, he described Abhideya as service related to one's relationship with Krishna. So whatever service, for those who are initiated by a bona fide Mahant Guru, and that they're qualified. The guru will give them a service that is related to their relationship, which automatically leads to the prime necessary, the prime necessity of this human form of life, which is called, of course, which is prajna, the goal, prema bhakti, or braja bhakti. And so this is the process given. It says in Jiva Dharma that if one does not understand the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan tattva, or the three tattvas, these three tattvas, one will not really understand what Krishna consciousness is. And when I first read that, you know, I was thinking, I've been in this so-called devotional service since 92. And I didn't, when I first read this in Jiva Dharma, since 92 I've been in the temple. And I didn't actually know the process of the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. And the more I read understood the process of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan, the more the consciousness seemed to be more enlightened about the position of the soul, position of the body, and how to perform devotional service. Devotional service, we know, is performed by the soul. But at the same time, we need this material body to perform the devotional service. As Srila Prabhupada said, we have to make the use of a bad bargain. And this material body is a bad bargain. And the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, will engage this bad bargain in devotional service, in whatever form or whatever means that spiritual master engages that disciple in. So therefore, we know we're not this body, but at the same time, we need this material body to perform devotional service. Because if we know that the spirit soul is within the body, but you take the spirit soul out of the body is just lying there, is motionless, no life. So this body is engaged in devotional service by the spiritual master in whatever that service is. It's if it's cooking, cleaning, book distribution, whatever that service is that the body of the devotee is being engaged in devotional service. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said also in one lecture, he said, When that happens, the body is not material. And he gives the example of you put an iron rod in fire. And you put it, an iron rod in fire, and leave it for some time. And you ask someone, or someone asks you to pick that up. Can you pick it up? No. It'll burn your hand, because the heat is transferred into the... Externally, it may look like an iron rod, but it's actually heat. It's been transformed into heat. So by performing in devotional service, this material body is being transformed into a spiritual body. So therefore, devotional service. Devotional service, as it says, is rarely, very rarely achieved. And just like those, the other day I was reading the story, I was remembering how one time I was in Mayapur, I had to take some, four devotees from, a group of devotees to Eka Chakra. And they were involved in the building of the Palace of Gold in Villaman, in New Vrindavan. They were involved in the, one was an architect, and some were bricklayers, some were putting the gold on the things like this. They were telling me how Kirtananda was engaged, who was the guru at the time, was engaging them, even though they had hardly any experience, especially in the building of the palace. So they were engaged because they were engaged in the service of Krishna and Guru at the time. And so therefore, and they felt really, really blissful, really happy when they were doing this service. And of course, things changed later on, of course. But at that time, they were feeling really, really blissful and happy because they, and also they felt they were very, their bodies, they were hardly sick. There was no sickness. They felt purified. Everything was, you could say, hunky-dory in one sense. They were telling me how about this. So this is Krishna. So because they were engaged in the service of Krishna under the guru of the time, they said all they could do was just chant the whole time when they were laying the bricks or in lining the gold and so on like this. They were just chanting the whole time. And this is the process, that if we are chanting, if we're engaged in devotional service, we will also get a taste for chanting the Maha Mantra, chanting Hare Krishna. We get ruchi for it. We get some taste. And then that taste will, be so relishable that we can't give it up. And therefore, we can be even in one sleep, one will be chanting. I won't mention who they were, but two sannyasis, one of the previous services was looking after the sannyasis when they were visiting here. And two of them. And the sannyasi room was now Gorkhapuri's room. So I went in there, had to go in there a couple of times. And these two particular sannyasis were chanting. They were sleeping, they were quietly chanting the Maha Mantra. And I was thinking, when will the day be mine when I can come to that platform? And then when they came to consciousness, and they realized I was standing there, and I saw, witnessed, and they looked really embarrassed, because it's like one time Srila Prabhupada here. Some of the Prabhupada disciples told me that one time Srila Prabhupada was singing Jai Radha Madhava before the class up there, and the devotees were sitting facing him like this, and they could see tears coming from Srila Prabhupada's eyes. And then Prabhupada realized what was happening, and he checked himself and became embarrassed, and he left the Vyasasan, and he didn't come out the room for 2 days, out of his room for 2 days. So we can pray to Lord Caitanya that one day, if we follow the process given by the Acharyas, given by the can't find it. We can't, so we follow the process given by the Acharyas. We can develop such we can come to the process, we can come and develop that level of Krishna consciousness. And in one verse, in connection with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, who he actually, as I said, he came to give Raghunuga Bhakti. So it says in the Adi Leela 4:15 and 16, Prema Rasana Rasya Karete Yabadana Ragmak Bhakti Loka Karete Prajachana Rasika Shekha Krishna Panam Karuna Ehi Du Heitu Hati Ujata Udana Ujama. The Lord desire to appear was born for two reasons. He wanted to give the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world in the platform of spontaneous attraction. This he is known as supremely jubilant and is the most merciful of all. So this is the reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, to give this Raghunuga Bhakti, the spontaneous love. But first, he had internally he had to taste the love that Sri Radha had for him. In one book, I forget what it's called now. This is a little leela that shows this. One time, Lalita Sakhi was walking with Sri Radha. And in the distance, they could see Radharani stopped, and Lalita stopped, and asked, "And oh Radha, why have you stopped for?" And she replied that I am seeing just a fusion of colors, yellow, blue, and green, all sorts of just a fusion of colors before me. Then the leader, she replied, he said, That's not a fusion of colors. That is your beloved Shamasunda standing a little distance from you. And that yellow is his yellow dhoti. And the blue is the color of his bodily color, bodily hue. The black is his long curly hair. And like this, she describes everything like this. Then Lita, she says, surely, Radhe, that you seen your beloved so many times. So many times you've seen him. And she replies, yes, Lalita, that every time I see him, my love for him increases 1,000 times. This is why I am stunned, for I cannot move. So this is the reason, Lord Titania, the eternal reasons for Lord Titania's appearance. At the same time, he came to give the Maha Mantra to the fallen conditioned souls. We might not be able to understand the internal reasons in our present conditioned state, because all of us are on got different conditioning. So some of us may be able to understand and some can't. But if we listen, Lost it. But if we listen to a bona fide spiritual master who has realized, who actually is a tattva darshini, the one who has seen this truth, by listening, we can, and by his mercy, we can understand. So all we have to do is perform sadhu sangha. So in the Brihadaranyaka Naradiya Purana 4:33, it describes how sadhu sangha gives bhakti. Bhaktastu bhagavat bhagadava sangaine prajatyate satsanghi prajatyate plumdihi sukriti pruva sanjanchitahi. By the accumulation of sukriti, one attains sadhu sangha. By sadhu sangha, one attains bhakti. So, to get the bhakti, we have to have sadhu sangha. We have to take association of the pure devotees. So, I'll stop there. Anything? Questions or I'll try to answer. No, but okay. As Corbin Raj would say, no question means you fully understood. Okay. Gantaraj Shimbabutam Ki Jaya.